Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim Wa anzal al-lazina zaharuhum min ahli al-kitab min sayasihim Wa qadhafa fi qulubihim ur-ru'ba fariqan taqtuluna wa ta'siruna fariqa Sadaqallahu al-azim مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. When the siege became very difficult on the Jews of the Banu Qurayza, and they realized that there was no way out but to surrender to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, they finally surrendered. And they had already had some idea that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give the decision regarding them to Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu an. Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu an was the leader of the Aws, and the Aws and the Banu Qurayza were allies pre-Islam. So they felt comfortable that if our allies have to decide regarding us and pass a judgment regarding us, then it won't be so difficult. So, keeping this in mind, they surrendered to the decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Aws came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, various people, members of the Aws tribe, and they began to intercede on behalf of the Banu Qurayza. They say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were our allies. They have regretted what they have done. And previously, regarding the Banu Qaynuqa, which was the first Jewish tribe that was banished from Medina Munawwara, you accepted the intercession of the Khazraj. The Khazraj was the other big Ansari tribe. So you accepted the intercession of the Banu Qaynuqa. You spared their lives, you did not kill them. So accept our intercession regarding the Banu Qurayza. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions to the Aws, أَلَا تَرْضَوْنَ أَنْ يَحْكُمَ فِيهِمْ رَجُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ. Will you be pleased if a person from among you has to decide and pass the judgment regarding them? So they say, yes, we will be very happy. If one of our members, one of the Aws, has to pass the judgment regarding them, we will be very happy. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَذَلِكَ إِلَى سَعَدْ بْنِ مُعَاذ. Sa'ad bin Mu'ad, your leader, will pass the decision. We have already discussed that Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu was injured. He was shot by an arrow during the battle of the trench. And he was being treated and he was being nursed in a tent in the Masjid Nabawi. The reason for this was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted him to be nearby so he could visit him often. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed that he should be nursed and treated and taken care of in the Masjid. So, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu an decision, then his people went to bring him. Obviously he was injured and he wasn't in a very good condition. So they put a pillow and something soft on a donkey. And then they place him on the donkey, and in this way they bring him from the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the fort of the Banu Qurayza. It was approximately 6 kilometers or 6 miles, the distance between Masjid Nabawi and the fort of the Banu Qurayza. When he came, as his people are bringing him, they mentioned to him that Ahsin fi mawalik, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given the decision to you, so treat your allies in a good manner. We had old relations with these people. We go back a very long time. Pre-Islam, they would assist us in various ways. So now it's our time to be good towards them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left the decision to you, so you can decide as you please. When they continuously mention this and they encourage him in this manner, Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu an says, قَدْ آنَ لِسَعْدٍ أَلَّا تَأْخُذَهُ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةُ لَائِمٍ. The time has come for Sa'ad bin Mu'az, for myself, that I should only fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fulfilling the command of Allah, I should not worry about the comments, about the reproach and the rebuke of anyone. Whoever can tell me whatever, Whatever you want to tell me, you can tell me. I am going to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever I feel best, whatever is most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the decision that I will make. I'm not going to be paying attention to your comments, to your encouragement, etc. A very, very great thing. This is a quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about certain servants of His. يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ Allah loves them and they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the qualities of these servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is لَا يَخَافُونَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. In fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not fear the comments and the reproach of any person. People will have their comments to make. But at the end, our goal and our objective in life is to fulfill and the command of Allah and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu says, and he gives them this guarantee, I'm not going to be paying attention to your comments. When they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he says, قُومُوا إِلَىٰ سَيِّدِكُمْ Stand up because your leader is coming. Out of respect for your leader, stand up. So the Ansar stand up in two rows. And as Sa'ad ibn Mu'az radiallahu anhu is coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were making salam to him until finally he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him that he should pass the judgment. So he replies and he says, Allahu wa Rasuluhu ahakku bil hukm. That this decision and making such an important judgment, it befits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is supposed to be making the judgment regarding this, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam must make the judgment. It's not for me to make such a judgment. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him that this is actually the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you should pass the judgment regarding this. So Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu addresses his people the oaths, and he asks them that will you be happy with the judgment that I will pass? They say, obviously, before you came here, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that you will be making the judgment, you will be passing the judgment, we were very happy. So we will definitely be happy if you have to pass the judgment. He was a very respected person. Although very young in age, he was in his 30s when he passed away. So very young in his age, but he was very respected among his people. So they say, yes, we will be happy. Then he turns to the side where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting. And he says, will the people on that side also be pleased with my judgment? He wanted to see and he wanted to reassure himself or to get a reassurance that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be happy with his judgment. But he doesn't address Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly out of respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, will those on that side be happy with my judgment? Obviously, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with Sahaba radiallahu anhu as well. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that whatever is your judgment, we are happy with that judgment. Now Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu, he passes the judgment and he says that all the mature males must be killed. All the mature males must be killed. All the grown-up males should be killed. And all the women and children must be taken as captives. And their belongings, their property must be distributed among the muhajirin. He was from the Ansar. But he says that all their property must be distributed among the muhajirin. The Ansar object. But their objection was not why we not getting the wealth. That wasn't their objection. Their objection was that the muhajirin will get this wealth. Up till this point, ikhwanuna kunna ma'ahum. They were our brothers. We were together. Now they will become self-sufficient. And now they will move away. Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu says, yes, they must become self-sufficient. I want them to become self-sufficient, to stand on their own feet. So this wealth will be given to them. When Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu passed this decision, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قَضَيْتَ بِحُكْمِ اللَّهِ You have actually passed decision according to the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certain words mentioned, لَقَدْ حَكَمْتَ فِيهِمْ بِحُكْمِ اللَّهِ مِنْ فَوْقِ سَبْءِ أَرْقِعَ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that this is the decision from above seven skies. From above the seven heavens, this is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your decision is 100% what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to be decided regarding them. Now the decision was passed. And the siege was over. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returns home. After 25 days of laying siege to the Banu Qurayza, the next morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to the marketplace. During that night, the Banu Qurayza, their men were taken and they were kept in one home or in one property. They were locked up there, and the women and children were locked up in another property. And during that night, khajur and dates were given to them to eat. They were not left hungry, starving. They're going to be killed tomorrow, so they must starve. No. The justice of Islam and the compassion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that although soon, still khajur and dates were given to them for them to eat. And the next morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to the marketplace and he instructs that long trenches should be dug. Long trenches should be dug. And after these trenches were dug, then the Banu Qurayza were brought, their men were brought. And those boys that were mature, those whose pubic hair began to grow, they were brought. And in groups they would be brought and they would be killed in these trenches. Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu and Sayyiduna Zubayr radiallahu anhu, they were the two Sahaba radiallahu anhu mainly, and an Ansari Sahabi by the name of Aslam radiallahu anhu, they were mainly in charge of killing them. As they were being killed, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting and observing what was going on. The oaths, some complaint came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the complaint was that the oaths, because they were allies of the Banu Qurayza, they are finding it difficult that their allies are being killed. When Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu, their leader, hears this, he says that if any of the oaths have to dislike what's happening, then there's no good among him. There's no good in him. And then another leader of theirs, Usayd bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, suggested that, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if this is the situation, then hand over the Banu Qurayza to the oaths. One household of the Banu Qurayza to one household of the oaths, and let them kill them with their own hands. So, in this manner, the Banu Qurayza, whoever was remaining from among them, they were handed over to the oaths, to the households of the oaths, and they would kill their own allies. When Huyay bin Akhtab was brought, Huyay bin Akhtab was like the Abu Jahl of the Jews. He was the one who instigated this entire war, and he had tried in different ways to hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the one who suggested that rock should be thrown on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when he was brought, but the very remarkable thing and the amazing thing is that the daughter of the same Huyay bin Akhtab, Sayyida Safiya radiallahu anha, later on became the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the mother of the believers. So nevertheless, when Huyay bin Akhtab was brought, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses him. And he says to him, أَلَمْ يُمَكِّنِ اللَّهُ مِنْكَ يَا عَدُوَ اللَّهِ, has not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us control and authority over you, O enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What he had done was, he tore his entire garment. And the reason why he tore his garment was, he did not want anyone to use his garment after he dies. To that level he went, in his enmity for Islam, that even my garment must not be used by them after I die. So he tore his entire garment to such an extent that every one finger space, he made a tear on that garment. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses him and says to him, has not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given control over you now? So he says, yes, Allah has given you control over me. But that pride and that arrogance and that enmity did not leave him right till this point. And he says, but I don't blame myself for having enmity for you. I don't blame myself for having enmity for you. However, this is just coincidence, or this is the system that may yakhzulillah yukhzal. That person who forsakes the deen of Allah, he will be forsaken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I had forsaken the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I had forsaken Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore Allah did not assist me and I am being killed in this way. Nabbash bin Qais, the one who went to negotiate on behalf of the Banu Qurayza, right in the beginning with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was brought. And the Sahabi that was bringing him, he smashed his nose. He hurt his nose. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, why did you hurt his nose? Now he's going to be killed. He's an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, why did you hurt his nose? So he says that he was trying to, he was not responding. And he was trying to flee. He was not being cooperative. So he was being uncooperative with me. Therefore, Because of him not cooperating with me, therefore I smashed his nose in this way. So he says that, why must I not cooperate? When all my people are being killed, obviously I'm also prepared to be killed. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs that these people should be treated nicely. It was extremely hot day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that do not gather too heat upon them. Meaning don't gather the heat of the sun and the heat of the weapons on them. So keep them cool, keep them comfortable. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs that now it's midday time, the time when normally they would take a rest, qilula. Allow them to have their qilula. Give them water, allow them to cool down. And thereafter they were brought, the remainder of them were brought, and they were killed. By the evening, all of them were killed. Ka'ab bin Asad Quradhi, the leader, was also brought. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a discussion with him as well. And he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that at the end he says, that I knew you were true, however I cannot forsake my people and leave the religion of my people. This becomes a great obstacle and an impediment in a person's path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That sometimes because of some type of tradition, some type of pressure, family pressure, peer pressure, etc., that a person is not prepared to accept the truth, although he knows it's true, or although he knows that this act is not right for me to be doing. I am sinning, I am breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because my circle, because my family want me to do it, or because my friends want me to do it, I break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just because of them. So this is the end result of this kind of mentality. That he says, although I knew you were true, but because I could not leave my people, I was not prepared to accept. As we explained, by the evening, all of them were killed. There's different versions with regards to how many of them were killed. The more famous view is between 600 to 700 of the Banu Qurayza were killed in this manner. More or less, some mention 400, some mention up to 900. So these are the varying amounts that have been mentioned by historians and mentioned in the reports that there were so many of them that were killed. Sa'ad bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu was sitting and watching all of this happening. And this was the dua that he made. When he was shot and injured, then he made dua. He made two duas. The first dua was, O Allah, if this is the last encounter with the Quraysh, then O Allah, take me away from this world. If there's going to be further encounters, then O Allah, allow me to live, because this is something that is most pleasing to me, to fight against those that had banished and expelled Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah Mukarramah, and those that had hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if there's no more encounters with the Quraysh, then O Allah, allow me to pass away. And then he made a second dua, وَلَا تُمِتْنِي حَتَّى تُقِرَّ عَيْنِي بِبَنِي. Allow me to die until my eyes are cooled, to see the end result and the outcome and the punishment of the Banu Qurayza. So first hand, he witnessed it with his own hand, with his own eyes. He saw it before his own eyes, how the Banu Qurayza were killed in this manner. Only the men were killed. However, there was one woman who was killed. Only one woman from the Banu Qurayza who was killed. Her name was either Nubata or Bunana. Different books have got her name differently. Nubata or Bunana, she was the only woman who was killed. And the reason for her being killed, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha explains, and she says that the day when the Banu Qurayza were being killed in this manner, I was in my home, and one of these women of the Banu Qurayza was sitting with me. The same woman, she was sitting with me. And he says, Aisha radiallahu anha says, that she was talking very nicely, very happily, she was joking with me, and she was talking in a very nice manner. And then all of a sudden, she hears her name being called out. So when she hears her name called out, she says to Aisha radiallahu anha, now it's my turn to be killed. Aisha radiallahu anha says, why, what happened? She says, قَتَلَنِي زَوْجِي, my husband killed me. Meaning my husband was the reason for me to be killed. What had happened was, when the siege became very intense, and they realize now that the men most probably would be killed. So she says to her husband that now you're going to be killed. And they enjoyed a very good relationship, a very strong bond of love between the two of them. So you're going to be killed and I'm going to be left. So her husband says to her, then what you do is you go and kill someone. You go and kill someone, take this piece of a mill, or a hand mill, which was very hard, which would be made from stone. So take this hand mill and throw it on someone and kill that person. So if you kill that person, then you will be killed because you killed someone else. Although you are a woman, but because in qisas, out of revenge, you will be killed. So go and kill someone, and in this way you will be killed and then we will be together. Actually, her husband did not want her to be taken as a prisoner. And obviously, if she was taken as a prisoner, then she would go in the hands of another man. So he did not want this to happen. So he encourages his wife that go and kill someone. So she takes this mill or the stone and she throws it from outside the fort. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were resting near the fort. While they were laying siege, so they were resting nearby. And she throws this mill. When the Sahaba radiallahu anhum saw it coming, most of them dispersed. However, one Sahabi, Khalad bin Suwayd radiallahu anhum, this mill struck him on his head and he passed away because of this. So because of her killing the Sahabi, therefore she was killed in revenge for the Sahabi. So when she was called, then she goes and then she was killed in this manner. Aisha radiallahu anha says, La ansa tiba nafsi nubata wa kathrata dihkiha wa qad arafat annaha tuqtal. I will never forget how happy she was and how nicely she was talking, where she knew she's going to be killed very soon, which is something very, very unusual. So this Sahabi Khalad bin Suwayd radiallahu anhu was the only Sahabi that became shaheed during this battle against the Banu Qurayza. The riwayat mentioned that later on his mother Ummu Khalad radiallahu anha comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The narration of Sunan Abi Dawood. She comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to find out what is the status of her son, because he was not killed in warfare. He was not killed in combat. So she wanted to know, is my son still a shaheed? Will my son be regarded as a shaheed? Because he was killed in this manner, this mill and the stone was thrown on him and it smashed his head. So will he be regarded as a shaheed? So she comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَهِيَ مُنْتَقِبَةٌ. The words of Sunan Abi Dawood, she came with her face covered with a niqab. Her face was covered with a niqab. At this point, again, an important point for us to take notice of is that sometimes people give this impression that the niqab is an Indian custom. It's something that has been inherited from India. It's not something which is part of deen. This sahabiya came, وَهِيَ مُنْتَقِبَةٌ, with her face covered with niqab. And a very amazing aspect is that at this point, niqab and covering the face was still not wajib on a woman. It became wajib later on. Before the law of hijab came, of niqab came, she was already covering her face. So one sahabi commented, and he says that I am surprised. You are in such a situation. Your son has passed away, and you have come to inquire regarding your son. It's a time which is a sensitive time, especially for a mother. You are overcome by emotions. But despite you being overcome by emotions, you still covered your face. So this sahabiya Ummu Khalad radiallahu anha, she makes a very, very important statement. And this statement is a lesson for the entire ummah, especially the woman of this ummah. She says, In urza ibni falan urza hayai. In urza ibni falan urza hayai. If I have lost my son, I have not lost my modesty and my haya. Losing my son and being overcome by emotions does not mean that now I must lose my haya also. I will still maintain my haya. I will still cover my face no matter what the situation may be. So she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to inquire. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, your son will not get the sawab of only one shaheed. Your son will get the sawab of two shaheeds. Inshallah we will continue. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.